This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Starting with your grain futures from Chicago Board of Trade. Board of Trade was mixed yesterday with corn and beans higher, with wheat lower. March corn was up 1 cent at 370 and three quarters. May corn was at 379 and a half, up 1.5 cents. And July corn was also up 1.5 at 387 and a half. Soybeans for March were up 1 3/4 to 902 and a half. May beans were at 916 a bushel, up 1.5 cents. And July beans were up 1 3/4 cents to 929 and 3/4. March wheat was down 9 cents to 480 and 3/4. May wheat was at 484 and a quarter, down 8 cents. And July wheat was down 8 1/4 cents to 488 and a quarter. Soybean oil for March was down 20 cents to 305.20 per ton. May bean meal was at 309.20 per ton, down 30 cents. And July soybean meal was down 30 cents as well to 313.10 per ton. Soybean oil for March was up 22 cents to 29.96. May bean oil was at 30.28, up 20 cents. And July bean oil was also up 20 cents to 30.61. Now we'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash grain reports.
This is Wednesday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Wednesday afternoon. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids penny higher, 327 to 353. Soybean bids are up 2 to 5 cents at 819 to 855. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids penny higher, 339 to 355, soybean bids are up 1 to 2 cents at 840 to 864. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were a penny higher at 337 to 368, soybean bids are up 1 to 2 cents at 839 to 872. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were mixed at 871 to 881, basis is steady to down 5 at 3200 to 22 under the March. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis is offered at 283.20 to 295.20, down 20 cents a ton, but basis unchanged at 2200 to 10 under the March. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids are a penny higher at 346 to 365, with basis steady at 2500 to 6 under the March. Illinois river barge loading elevated quoted to produce the corn bids mixed at 354 to 363, with basis mixed at 1708 under the March. Soybeans ended mixed at 856 to 865, with basis mixed at 4700 to 38 under the March. New crop wheat prices are down 8 cents at 453 to 478, with basis steady at 3500 to 10 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids steady at 381 to 382. These elevators raised their soybean prices 2 to 5 cents, quotations at 888 to 891. Soft wheat closed down 9 cents at 5.11 to 5.12, and Milo ended the day up a penny at 4.16 to 4.21. Contract bids for producers for October and November delivery, corn in the northern part of the state at 3.45 to 3.69, soybeans at 8.61 to 8.92. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 3.54 to 3.70, soybeans at 8.78 to 9.12. In the southern part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at 341 to 374, and soybeans at 872 to 899, and June-July wheat at 459 to 487. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Live cattle for February were up 45 cents to 128.32. April live cattle finished at 129.20, up 75 cents, and June live cattle finished up 72 cents at 119.32. Feeder cattle for March were up 12 cents to 143.87. April feeders finished at 146.07, up 7 cents, and May feeders finished steady at $147 a head. Lean hogs for April were down $3.55 to $52.97. May lean hogs finished at $63.02, down $2.42, and June lean hogs finished down 97 cents to $72.75. Now we'll move on to the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash livestock reports.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon's Livestock Report. Starting with the national daily direct afternoon hog report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 28 cents lower in a range of $44 to $49 with the weighted average carcass price of $47.90. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were $1 to $5 higher with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 24 to 28, 4 to 500 pounds at 26 to 33, 5 to 600 pounds at 29 to 38, over 600 pounds at 32 to 43. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and gilts at country buying points were mostly steady at a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from 25 to 34. Receipts for Illinois barrows and gilts totaled $25,139. In the direct cattle trade, from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $125. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 356 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $60.17, which was 26 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading lower. Choice carcasses are $216.49, which was 78 cents lower, with select carcasses at $211.50, which was $2.04 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 108,000 compared to 108,000 for last week and 113,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 463,000 compared to 464,000 for last week and 464,000 for 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
As more winter weather hits the Midwest and Plains states this week, ag meteorologist Ryan Martin looked ahead to the end of winter and into early spring. When you talk about the Corn Belt, he says the region is divided in two by the forecast.
You know, upper Midwest, Iowa, northern Iowa, northward. Yes, it actually has been a very snowy winter to this point. It actually has exceeded our expectations and our winter forecasts by a little bit. One thing you have to sit back and do note, though, it is still February. We normally expect these snow patterns to kind of taper off as you head through mid and late March, and I think we're probably going to be on track to see that again this year. Am I calling for an immediate stoppage of snow? No. But what I am seeing as we go through March is temperatures actually trying to transition from being below normal, like we've seen for a large chunk of January and February, and actually trend back to normal and even slightly above.
March weather in the upper Midwest should include more rain, as there doesn't appear to be any clipper systems developing that would bring waves of more snow to the region. Weather in the eastern Corn Belt will likely be more active in late February through mid-March.
So Ohio Valley, Indiana, Ohio, Great Lakes regions, I think we're looking at a fairly active turn from February into March here. I think we're going to be looking at excessive precipitation coming through. The thing is, temperatures are going to be on a little bit more of a roller coaster. We had the brutal cold air back a few weeks ago. We're transitioning now into a time frame where you average out near normal, but that means you can be about 10 degrees above one day and 10 degrees below the next. So I'm seeing a lot of rain in the eastern Corn Belt, and I think this is going to have a very big impact on Ohio River levels, mid and lower Mississippi River levels, and potentially even Illinois River levels. But we're not talking ice as much as we're talking about excessive water moving through.
He says the Plains states might not get spring planting weather as quickly as they're used to.
We came into this winter season with a soil moisture profile the best we've seen in years. And you know what? We really haven't done much over the winter to take that away either. We've seen several good snow events come through. As a matter of fact, I've had some folks in south central and southeast Kansas, northeastern Oklahoma contact me within the past couple of weeks and say, good grief, cut it out with the ice. So we've gotten plenty of moisture coming through. What I do see here in the next 4, 5, 6 weeks as we make the transition to spring, spring may not be coming quite as quickly. You know, a lot of times in these hard red winter wheat belts, we start to wake the wheat up in March because we see several well above normal temperature weeks strung together. I'm not sure we see that this time. It looks to me like it's going to be more variable. We get a warmer week or 3 or 4 days, and then we turn around and go below normal for a good 3, 4, 5 days.
Wet weather looks to continue in the Delta region.
It's been wet in the southern plains and in the Delta all winter long, and there's nothing showing that break at all. This is kind of an offshoot of a building El Nino. A lot of times you expect a very wet winter period in the south and southeast. That is going to continue. This has been a very active storm track, and I see that continuing at least through mid to late March.
A quiet winter in the western states is starting to end as high pressure disappears and precipitation is beginning to move in.
Most of the western United States has been parked under a fairly significant upper-level ridge through the winter. Now, that did slowly erode and change about a week to a week and a half ago. We're seeing a very strong trough building in Southern California coast on into the Four Corners region. So what that has done is that's allowed a little bit more moisture to come together. We haven't seen it kick out of the mountains into the plains, but we actually have seen several days' worth of nice snows in the Intermountain West. But for this trough to hold through at least the next 10 days to 2 weeks.
Ag meteorologist Ryan Martin. The number of acres of corn planted this spring will likely be a key factor in determining where the price of corn goes. University of Illinois agriculture economist Todd Hubbs took up the issue in this week's Farm Doc Daily article. He starts with a historical graph. It shows the principal crop acres in the United States and how those acreages have changed since 1997. Both corn and soybean acreage have increased. Combined, they're up about 10% over the past 20 years. Hubbs uses that history to help put the numbers of corn and soybean acres into perspective.
When we look at the harvest soybean to corn futures price ratio this year, it's been about 2.37. There's a definite signal in this graph just from 2006 through 2018. If you're above 2.4 in that ratio, less corn acreage. If you're below 2.3, more corn acreage. And we're sort of sitting right in that middle zone. And we've seen problems with field work in large parts of the Corn Belt this fall. We've seen fertilizer and other input costs go up on corn. So the idea that we're going to see a massive increase in corn acreage, which is held by most market observers, it could happen. But under the current price structure, we might not see the kind of corn acreage we think we're going to see.
Hub says he used the 2019-2020 futures prices to forward calculate a season's average cash price for new crop corn. His calculation points to $3.81 per bushel. He then figured a stocks-to-use ratio that would fit that number.
I sort of think around an 11% stocks-to-use ratio in 2019-20 would give us $3.81. If we thought consumption was constant at 14.8 billion bushels, from this marking year to the next, that would put corn acreage around 91.7 million acres is what the market's priced in, at a 174.6 yield nationally for corn.
Finally, Hub says there isn't a lot of weather premium priced into new crop corn futures. He also says there isn't much of a premium built in for a possible trade deal with China. Hubs thinks that may be just as bullish for corn as it is for soybeans. Right now, he thinks the $2.37 soybean-to-corn ratio feels high if the expectation is for a substantial increase in corn acreage. In news a bit closer to home, the 2019 crop production season is right around the corner, and the Department of Agriculture's National Agricultural Statistics Service, or NAS, will contact producers nationwide to determine their plans for the upcoming growing season. Each year, the agricultural industry eagerly awaits the USDA's Prospective Plantings Report, which provides the first survey-based estimates of U.S. farmers' planting intentions for the year, says NASA's Illinois State statistician Mark Sloysener. The March Ag Survey provides the factual data that underpins those projections, making it one of the most important surveys we conduct each year. NAS will mail the survey questionnaire in February, asking producers to provide information about the types of crops they intend to plant in 2019 and how many acres they intend to plant and the amount of grain and oil seeds they store on the farm. NAS encourages producers to respond online or by mail. Those producers who do not respond by the deadline may be contacted for a telephone or personal interview. NAS safeguards the privacy of all respondents and publishes only aggregate data, ensuring that no individual operation or producer can be identified. Survey results will be published in the Prospective Plantings and Quarterly Grain Stocks Report to be released on March 29, 2019. The Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale is today on the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield. University of Illinois Extension's Travis Mateer organizes the sale.
The main goal is to provide Illinois cattlemen with a genetic source that's superior and will add profitable traits to their herd. And so that's been the focus of the sale for its existence, is to help producers find that source and a reliable source and an affordable source. And the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale, is that's the reputation that it's built.
The IPT Bull Sale is in its 51st year. The doors will open at 9 a.m. today, and the auction starts at 11 o'clock at the State Fairgrounds in Springfield. Details are online at iptbullsale.com. U of I Extension, Montgomery County Ag in the Classroom, was presented with a generous donation from the Montgomery County Farm Bureau in Hillsboro. Beth Groves, Montgomery County AITC Program Coordinator, stated, "Montgomery County Farm Bureau supports our Ag in the Classroom programs in so many ways. Members serve on our Agricultural Literacy Advisory Council, the Women's Committee volunteers at programs and events, while Young Leaders provides guest speakers for ACES Day. It's been great working with these wonderful people. The mission of the Illinois Agriculture in the Classroom is to teach Illinois children agriculture's importance and the vital role it plays in their lives and society. Ag in the Classroom supports local educational and outreach efforts by providing high-quality, standards-based, scientifically sound agricultural information that can be easily integrated by teachers into the existing classroom curriculum." Katie Wilson, Montgomery County Farm Bureau Manager, stated, "Montgomery County Farm Bureau understands the importance of educating youth about agriculture. Even though our county is very rural and farming is very prevalent, we realize that there are students who still have no exposure to livestock or row crops. We appreciate all that Beth does for our county AITC program and wanted to support her efforts with this donation to keep kids educated about agriculture." In FFA news, everyone is invited to stop by the Ag Shop in Litchfield today, where the FFA chapter will be having a pork patty lunch this afternoon from 11:30 till 1 to celebrate National FFA Week. Those meals will be sold for $5 apiece, and they will include a pork patty sandwich, drink, chips, and a cookie. Also being held this evening at 6 o'clock, the Gillespie FFA chapter will hold a chili supper. This supper will be held to recognize students' successes and achievements throughout the school year. There is no cost for the supper, and drinks will be provided. However, donations are welcome. Also, on Saturday morning, the Gillespie FFA alumni will host a pancake and sausage breakfast at the Gillespie High School cafeteria. The breakfast will be held from 7 to 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. Ages from 5 to 12 will be $5 apiece, and 13 and older is $7 apiece. Proceeds from this breakfast will benefit the scholarship fund for the Gillespie High School FFA students. And remember, to find all of these stories and more, you can find it on the website at WSMIRadio.com. And while I have a quick moment, I'd like to wish my grandparents, Elbo and Bev Grinley of Coffeen, a very happy 60th wedding anniversary today. For this Thursday morning, February the 21st, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.